Islamic campaign in Syria following the rise of Daesh and include all of uncounted who have yet to be officially acknowledged, let alone receive justice. Congress should make the U.S. military publicly refute credible evidence of hundreds of unclaimed civilian casualties caused by the United States and U.S. supported forces since the start of the war. It should review whether airstrikes there met the requirements of the laws of war and if flattening residential areas was actually justified by the perceived threat or military objective. It should also seek to understand whether and with what frequency, if any, the United States has offered or given ex gratia or condolence payments to families it has harmed. The reality is that the United States military campaign in Syria, from arming the very armed groups it is ostensibly at war with, to its massive undercounting and denial of civilian casualties, has been a dismal display of illegality and failure.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Today's great tip, how and what do we look at inside of us, which will help our worship and obedience of Allah.
Allahu Rabbi, la sharika lahu.
So, dear listeners, one of the very important things when we deal with this ubudiyah, this servitude to Allah, is that we have to look within ourselves. We have to constantly gauge what we do and who we are as a human being and as a creation and a abd, a slave and servant of Allah. The Holy Quran in many places describes for us and tells us and explains for us these different aspects and these different ideas and realities which help us to enhance our ubudiyah, especially as regards to our actions and who we are as a human being. So, for example, in Surah Ali Imran, which is chapter number 3 of the Holy Quran, and in verse number 30 of this chapter, we find that the Almighty Allah says, On the day when every soul shall find present what it has done of good and what it has done of evil, it shall wish that there were a long duration of time between it and that. It's very interesting and it's very eye-opening when we look at certain verses of the Holy Quran, especially when we try to apply it to ourselves, which of course that is the purpose of reading the Holy Quran, is so that we apply it to ourselves and so that we become this abd, this servant of Allah, as Allah the Mighty, the Exalted wishes. So, for example, it says that, be wary of a day where every soul shall find of what it has done good and what it has done of evil. Now, when we realize that there is such a day, and such a day will come most certainly, when we will be held accountable for all the things that we have done, whether good or bad, of course, this frame of mind and this thinking and this way of living will make us increase our good deeds, and it will make us decrease our evil deeds. And thus, in order to increase our good deeds, we will most surely increase our ubudiyyah, because as we have said, the fundamental purpose of creation is this very ubudiyyah, this servitude to Allah.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com. Dear listeners of the program Foresight, my name is Muhammad. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from Munajatul Muhibbin, which means the whispered prayer of the lovers. Stay with me.
نهاري دونكم ليل وليلي كله
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. My God, who can have tasted the sweetness of your love, then wanted another in place of you? Who can have become intimate with your nearness, then sought removal from you? My God, place us with him whom you have chosen for your nearness and your friendship, purified through your affection and your love, given yearning for the meeting with you, made pleased with your decree, granted gazing upon your face, shown the favor of your good pleasure, given refuge from separation from you and your loathing, settled in a sure sitting place in your neighborhood, singled out for true knowledge of you, made worthy for worship of you, whose heart you have captivated with your will, whom you have picked for contemplating you, whose look you have made empty for you, whose breast you have freed for your love, whom you have made desirous of what is with you, inspired with your remembrance, allotted thanksgiving to you, occupied with obeying you, turned into one of your righteous creatures, chosen for whispered prayer to you, and from whom you have cut off all things which cut him off from you.
وفي طلب الرضا منكم له الغايات تتفق أغيث سادتي صبا يذوب بكم وينمحق وفي طلب الرضا منكم له الغايات تتفق أن العبد الفقير على غرام يمتم على.
Welcome back, dear listeners, in continuation to what we were saying, which was, of course, the aspects of how and what there is within us that can help strengthen our servitude to Allah, our ubudiyah. Of course, we had talked about how the verses of the Holy Quran can give us a beautiful glimpse as to what we can do and how we can build ourselves so that we are able to enhance our ubudiyah, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to Allah. There's another very beautiful verse in the Holy Quran, in the word of Allah, which can be found in chapter Zumar, which is chapter number 39. And within this chapter number 39, we find verse number 56. Here it talks about the Day of Judgment, and it says, "Alas for me, for what I fell short of my duty to Allah." Now here we find that the Holy Quran, at least in its apparent meanings and its very clear meanings, has shown us that on the Day of Judgment, we will all feel that we fell short of the duty that we had as regards to Allah. Meaning, we will see that there was so much more we could have done when it comes to our worship or our obedience. Or there is so much that we could have done as far as our servitude to Allah, our ubudiyah to Allah. And so when we come into this kind of frame of mind and we come into this kind of thought process that, well, I could have done so much more, this motivates you to do so much more. This motivation to do so much more, of course, helps us to increase our ubudiyah. It helps us to increase our servitude to Allah and our obedience to Allah. And even if we look at our own daily life, we will find that there are many times that we can do so much more. We find ourselves at times wasting our time with things which will be of no benefit to us. But on the other hand, if we have a Qur'ani view, if we look through the lens of the Qur'an, we will find that not only is our time incredibly valuable, but we should spend our time on things which are valuable primarily for the hereafter.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is farstoday.com.
رجائي بالرضا والخير أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
اعترفوا بأنهم ملكه وعبيده. They finally admit that they are in the dominion. They admit in this, when the calamity comes, they admit we are the dominion of God. inna lillahi, we belong to God. In other words, if I take something, if I take this, if I owned it, and I took it and threw it out, and you say, you can't do that, why can't I do that? This is mine. I own it. I can do whatever I want with it. That's the nature of property. Property is that the one who owns it has the right to do what he wills with it. That's the nature of property. If you don't have that quality of possession, then it's not really your property. Now, because the dunya is not our property, we can't do whatever we want with it, can we? But we understand the concept of property. This world is the dominion of God, and therefore God can do whatever he wants with it. Now, the nature of, you see, if I have a book and I burn it, and you say to me, you can't do that. Yes, I can. It's my book, and I want to burn it. You shouldn't burn books. Maybe I shouldn't, but I can, and you can't stop me by law. So then if the person asks you, why did you burn the book? Because there's mistakes in it. Oh, I didn't realize. Now I've explained myself, and now it makes sense to you. This is Musa and Al-Khidr, right? In that story of Al-Kahf, which is the story of the problem of evil. That story solves the problem of evil. Because Musa's looking with the eye of the outward, and everything he sees is wrong. But when it's explained to him by a servant who was given knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suddenly the servant, the Musa, is saying, I didn't realize. Now I have an explanation. Well, what happens on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Allah tells us in the Quran, he explains it all to us. And then everybody's going to say, now it makes sense. The difference between the believer and the kafir is in this world we're saying, we know it makes sense, and we're willing to wait until the day of judgment to have it explained. Because we trust Allah. They're saying, no, it's wrong. How do you know? You don't have all the information. You cannot make a judgment about a thing unless you understand that thing. Al-hukmu ala shay'in far'un an tasawwirihi. To judge a thing is only one aspect of conceptualizing the entirety of that thing. It's a principle in logic. And that's why a judge has to know all the facts. If you prejudge, it's called prejudice. And it's considered to be a moral vice, to be prejudiced.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Ya fuadi da'asi wallah fawid al-amra lillahi lillah kul wa nadi hasbi Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and how about reflecting upon a maxim bequeathed to us for our guidance by the command of the faithful Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Seeking God's forgiveness along with the insistence on committing the sin from which you seek forgiveness are additional sins.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about drug addiction and drug addiction in the view of Islam. So please be with us. But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 6th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Zolar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to chapter Baqarah, verse 219.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Yas'alunaka 'anil khamri wal maisir. Qul feehima ithmun kabeerun wa manafi'u lin-naasi wa ithmuhuma akbaru min naf'ihima. ويسألونك ماذا ينفقون قل العفو كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون.
They ask you about wine and gambling. Say, in them is great sin, and yet some benefit for people, but their sin is greater than their benefit. And they ask you what they should spend. Say, the excess beyond needs. Thus Allah makes it clear to you the verses of revelation that you might give thought.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The term khamr in Arabic lexicon means a cover. Hence the veil that women wear to cover their heads to observe hijab, it is called khimar. since the alcoholic beverages often dilute the ability of the distinction of the person who drinks, and in fact it covers the wisdom. In Arabic language, that kind of liquor is called khamr. When dealing a thing, we must be just. The verse does not connive the profits of wine and gambling, but it propounds the subject so that it admonites the power and faculty of contemplation and meditation in us.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
This is IRIB English Radio, today's special, and now addiction to modern tools. In Islam, there is a clear prohibition against the use of drugs and alcohol. The Quran, Islam's central text, contains verses that condemn the use of substances. In fact, the faith views intoxication as tantamount to outright sacrilege. In the Quran, intoxicants are referred to as khamr, the Arabic word for wine. The faith, however, extends that definition to include substances that defile the mind and intellect, lower inhibition, or diminish one's ability to think and feel rationally. It also views intoxicants as any substance that overcomes someone.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the positive effects of religious teachings on abandoning addiction to drugs, it must be indicated that in the Islamic religion, it's asserted that the intellect is the most important asset for everybody. And it's indicated that by means of following up one's faculty of rational attitude, that is the intellect, people would be able to move toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because the ultimate goal of all religions, and particularly the Islamic religion, all divine religions, and particularly that of the Islamic religion, is simply that everybody should move in the direction to reach as closely as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, there are some vices, there are some opposite temptations, and all of them are certainly satanic temptations that want to prevent people from moving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that in Islamic teachings, one of the important parameters in order to weigh the value of anybody is whether that person is a rational being or not. Relies on his rational thought or not.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
All intoxicants are prohibited. Intoxicants in the Quran and Islamic society. What are they? The Quran is reticent regarding drug use, although it discusses intoxicants or khamr in Arabic language, and more specifically alcohol, any discussion on narcotics and addictions must start from the Quran, since it is the foundation of Islamic law, ethics, and theology. Alcohol is prohibited in the Quran for recreational reasons. The Quran calls alcohol the handiwork of Satan. What does the Quran say about drugs and other forms of intoxicants? Some are of the opinion that the use of the word khamr, that means alcohol or intoxicant, in the Quran is a composite term which includes all forms of intoxicants, despite the fact that the specific context is in which the verses were being discussed relate to alcohol drinking. At-Tabari writes that khamr is every drink that intoxicates the mind, veils it, and covers it. It may be that during Prophet Muhammad's time in Arabia, alcoholic beverages were the only available forms of intoxicants. The Quran does not mention them, nor were they a social problem such that Prophet Muhammad had to give specific guidance about them. Now we'll reach to tips for helping someone overcome drug addiction. Dear friend, remember that they are still the person you know and care about even through the challenges. Sometimes it can be hard to clearly see that person through the veil of their drug abuse, but dependence and addiction inspire unfortunate, often desperate actions. They may not be in complete control of their words and their actions, so it's best if you can avoid taking things personally during this time. Furthermore, leading with blame and shame is not going to encourage their positive mental health and development. This isn't to say that you should look past the wrongs they might do to you or to others, but they still deserve the most compassionate gesture you can offer, the chance for clinical care and treatment.
Now, when we discuss drugs, of course, this is something that is forbidden in the religion of Islam. It's an intoxicant, and being that it's an intoxicant, it is one of the muharramat, it is one of the forbidden things in the religion of Islam that the religion of Islam stood against from day one. And you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about alcohol. Why is alcohol forbidden? Because it's an intoxicant, because it takes away the ability to think. It takes away the ability to make decisions in life. And therefore, it's become haram. And due to that, there's a hadith from the Prophet. He says, anything that will take away the ability to think and the ability to make sound judgment is haram. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you people who believe, innama al-khamr, the first thing is alcohol, wal-maysir, gambling, wal-ansab wal-azlam rijsun min amal al-shaytan. The ansab, this is the sacrifice at the altar that some societies, they would make. And the azlam is a type of also throwing arrows, a type of something that the community at that time used to do. Allah says these are all rijs. These are all forbidden, and these are from the acts of shaitan. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Avoid them so that you may succeed. Avoid them so that you may prevail. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the greatest gift. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what makes the human being different from any other creation is the ability to make sound judgment.
the ability to use our intellect to judge between right and wrong. Now you find some people, they come and they take away that gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. This is the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. But some, they come and they intoxicate themselves. They kill those brain cells and they're not able to make decisions. Then Allah says in the verse, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Shaytan causes problems, division between the mu'mineen, because this verse begins, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Shaytan tries to cause discord between the believers through what? Through the khamr, through the alcohol, through the intoxicants, and through gambling. وَيَصُدُّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. And he brings you away from the salah and away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is one verse that clearly talks about alcohol and how alcohol is forbidden. Now, of course, scholars say that the reason why alcohol is forbidden is because it's an intoxicant. And therefore, anything that is an intoxicant falls under that category and it becomes haram.
We look at the addiction in the view of Islam in the program of today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic. Thank you very much for joining us till this time and till another chance to say salam. We leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Some might say this world today is sure. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, but He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. In every tear that is wet, he is there.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives. And that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you will be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas, ho ho ho, come out in bubble through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight, drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. Climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. 8 sand artists from around the world have created the spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf, and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. And the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
The first few days, she did not leave the calf's side, was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days, as she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least for students at a university in Pakistan kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university official spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film made and acted by the students. The Swedish city of Stockholm has launched its 31st annual Christmas competition of baking gingerbread.
There is a limited in space, so it's 40 centimeters by 40 centimeters, and everything you build, all the material need to be eatable. So you can build with different things, gingerbread of course, but also candies and other things, but you need to be able to eat it. So that's one of the rules as well.
Each year, the Gingerbread House competition, hosted by ArcDesk Museum of Architecture and Design, has a theme for the designs. This year's theme is Together, attracting various interpretations of the topic. So far, the entries have included the Titanic, the famous coffee shop from the American TV show Friends, an igloo and the Berlin Wall, all entirely edible. The event, which has been running for 31 years, is designed for all kinds of creators, such as children, young people, adults, amateurs, and professionals. The Tasty exhibition runs until January the 5th. A Palestinian teacher has developed an assistant for himself nicknamed Mr. Robot, bringing joy to the children of a school in Gaza. Mr. Robot teaches the children of Al-Basma School about electric circuits and helps them memorize their lessons. Mr. Robot moves freely in the classroom, speaking Arabic to students and communicating with them as a friend. The teacher creating it says the aim was to stimulate creativity and innovation in his classroom.
Mr. Robot, as his name suggests, is the teacher's assistant and not his replacement. He assists in the education process by asking questions and giving answers, greeting students and interacting with them in all aspects of a class.
The teacher says at first students reacted to it in a strange way, but later on they said it was like a dream come true for them. Local engineers say the robot is the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, where electrical tools and components are scarce.
Artificial intelligence has found its way into several aspects of our lives. Now, a French research team is working on a project to provide fishermen with intelligent trawls that could help them sort out fishes before they are brought to the boats.
The objective of the project is to try to provide a support tool for fishermen, because at the moment, when they put their fishing gear in the water, a trawl net is like a large net. It is towed behind the vessel for several hours without having knowledge of what enters the trawl net in real time. Namely, is it species that are targeted by the fishermen or not targeted?
The trawl has a camera that can capture footage underwater, which is then analyzed by a microcomputer using artificial intelligence. If targeted fishes are detected, the trawl will switch to fishing mode. But when there are no targeted species, it will switch back to flight mode to avoid having an impact on the seabed. Another feature of this technology is to identify and classify pelagic species. For instance, horse mackerel can be displayed in blue on the screen, while the sardines are shown in pink. If you enjoy nighttime adventures, then this park in Paris is just for you. Decorated with colorful lighting, the venue gives you a real feeling of life-size sculptures depicting dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals. In this exhibition dubbed Evolution on the Path of Lights, visitors can walk through tunnels formed by some of the sculptors. They are made of paper, steel, and lights. More than 100 sculptors light up like lanterns across the park. These include well-known favorites of kids, such as Triceratops and T-Rex. Some huge lanterns also represent insects and vertebrates that walked on the planet millions of years ago. The exhibition's director says the goal is to raise awareness and educate the public about biodiversity in the past and present.
In Thailand, monkeys climbing on piles of fruits and vegetables in central Thailand. It is not due to a mess, though. It is actually an annual event called the Monkey Festival in Lopburi Province. The long-tailed monkeys, known as macaques, feast on 2 tons of fruits and vegetables in Lopburi. That is the capital city of the province with the same name. Locals say the event is a symbolic way to thank the cute animals for doing their part in drawing tourists to their town. This year's festival took place after a 2-year halt due to the pandemic.
Today is the 33rd time that we held this event. This year under the theme of Wheelchair Monkey Party, where we organizers will donate 100 wheelchairs to people in need. I would say the event is very successful. Many Thais and tourists are visiting.
Lopburi has been holding the annual festival for its monkey population for decades now. COVID restrictions meant last year's party was missing its usual crowd of spectators. However, this year the humans were back in force with more than 100 turning out to see the monkeys. Historical monuments have the many duplicates made by enthusiasts around the world. India's Taj Mahal is not an exception. But the one you're about to see right now is not just the physical copy. It shares the spirit of Taj Mahal as well. This mini replica is located in the city of Burhanpur, some 800 kilometers away from the magnificent Taj Mahal itself. It has a love story behind it too, just as Taj Mahal does. Anand Parkash Choksi, a teacher, has built this replica as a gift to his spouse, It took 3 years to build the four-bedroom house that is decorated by artisans from Agra, where Taj Mahal is located. He says that he has made the replica to show his love and spread the message of peace. Taj Mahal was built by Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan in memory of his wife Mumtaz Mahal back in the 17th century.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.